Now, survivors of the worst single atrocity of the Liberian Civil War are seeking justice in the United States. Some 600 people, including many children, were shot or hacked to death when soldiers allegedly loyal to the late President Samuel Doe attacked St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Monrovia back in 1990. Nobody has ever been held responsible. Well, now four survivors have begun a civil lawsuit alleging that Moses Thomas, who now lives in the United States, was in charge of the army unit which carried out the killings. Now, he is denied the charges. Well, joining me in the studio to throw some light as to what happened back then is the BBC's former West Africa correspondent, Elizabeth Blunt, who was in Liberia at the time of the massacres. Good evening to you, Liz.
Good evening.
Now, many people, I'm sure, would have remembered so many of your reports, and this obviously would have been one of the most harrowing of the war. What happened? Can you remind us of what happened back in the church back then in 1990?
Well, I wasn't there the day that it happened. I'd been there about a week before, and we'd visited the church. It was in a big compound with strong walls. It had a Red Cross flag flying at each corner of the compound. There was a big church and a big school, and it was full of people. These were families from Nimba County, where the rebellion had started. They were being regarded as traitors and rebels by the soldiers. And the soldiers were very panicky by then because the rebels were closing in on the city. So they were hunting down men from Nimba County, dragging them away, beating them, killing them. So these families were sleeping in the church for safety. And for decency, really, the men and the boys were sleeping in the church itself, the women and the children in the school building alongside. And one night, a group of soldiers, according to this case, allegedly members from the special anti-terrorist unit based in President Doe's executive mansion, came over the wall and just started killing everybody.
And it has to be said, this was a place which, as you said, the Red Cross, they were being given refuge.
Yes.
It was like an aid camp for people.
It was.
And how many of them?
Oh, several thousand. We don't have an exact death toll. As best we know, it was about 600 people. And it was everybody. They didn't just kill the men and boys. They went into the school. They killed women, children, toddlers, babies, everybody. It was the most awful thing. And it was what brought the rest of West Africa into the war, the shock of that. I remember Sadauda Jawara, the president of the Gambia, saying, we've got to do something. People will think we're all savages.
And these were, I mean, you've mentioned Nimba County. They were from specific ethnic groups, weren't they?
They were mostly Mano and Gio. But they were unarmed. They were civilians. Some had been in the army and had been chased out, but there were no arms allowed inside the church.
And why is it that they were seen by Samuel Doe's forces, for those who don't remember the genesis of the war, even though, as you say, it started in Nimba, why were they seen to be enemies, disloyal?
Well, that was where it started, and the original rebels were largely from there. These people weren't disloyal. I mean, otherwise they'd have been away fighting. They were living their lives in Monrovia like anybody else until all this started.
So now we have Moses Thomas, who's now been accused, taken to court in this civil case. He's denied, it has to be said, all charges, all allegations, saying they're nonsense. How easy will it be for these four who've taken this civil court, how easy will it be for them to prove that he was, you know, the man who ordered the killings?
Well, I think this has been quite well prepared over a long time. It's not just actually these four. We've got organisations which are fighting against the culture of impunity. The Centre for Justice and Accountability in the States, organisations in Liberia, in Switzerland. They've picked these four people as test cases. People say they can identify him. I think it might be quite hard to prove because it was pitch dark. There was no power in Monrovia by then. So it was completely dark, huge confusion, shouting, shooting, everything.
But is it also because he was the head of the brigade?
And he was the head of SATU. Yes, he was.
Are there other individuals who are also being, you know, who are still alive, who are being pointed out?
Not in this case. The one person who I have definitely heard named as there, a chap called General Tilly, he's dead. I'm told he was killed by his own people. But there are a lot of these cases coming up now. And I think it's because finally people have realised that no one is going to be prosecuted for war crimes in Liberia. And they've turned to other ways of making them accountable. In Europe, European countries are prosecuting for war crimes under universal jurisdiction.
Because we've seen in France, Belgium.
In Belgium, in Switzerland, and now in the UK with Mrs. Agnes Taylor. America's reluctant to do that, so they're getting them for things like lying on their immigration forms. And in this case, it's a civil suit. These four people are suing him for damages. Heaven knows what they'll get out of him. I don't think he's a rich man, but they're suing him for damages.
I believe he may be, according to some reports, he's now a restaurateur or something like that. But, you know,
works in his girlfriend's little Liberian restaurant. I've seen pictures of it. It's a very modest cafe.
You know, there is the question is that some people will be asking is what kind of justice, if any, can be gained from people in Liberia who, you know, many of whom suffered so terribly during this civil war?
Well, the interesting question is, if they win their case, what happens? He may get deported, for instance, deported back to Liberia. Now, nobody has been put on trial yet, but we have a new president. George Weah was not in Liberia then. His hands are absolutely clean. He was playing football in Europe. Everybody knows that. So he's in a better position to start prosecutions. And this could be the moment. We'll see.
But as you say, it's when the cases are done outside of the court. It also begs the question about extradition treaties and stuff like that, unless it just happens.
I don't think Liberia's asking for extradition. It hasn't for anybody up till now. But the US could deport. He was there under a special temporary protection provision, which assumed that he was a victim of conflict. If it turns out that he was actually the instigator of conflict, then he could certainly be deported back to where he came from.
Liz, thank you very much indeed. Liz, who many people know Liz Blunt as our former West Africa correspondent. And thank you very much for joining us again on Focus on Africa.